The power of God is given to enable us to do spiritual things in a spiritual way in an unspiritual world. Let me repeat that one more time. Malcolm Cronk. The power of God is given to enable us to do a spiritual thing in a spiritual way in an unspiritual world. We've talked about the power of the world a little bit in the last few weeks. But we can also think about the power of God. Although Satan, the prince and ruler of the world, is powerful, although the attraction of the world is powerful, although the influence of the world is powerful, much more powerful than we would want, God is more powerful. And we talked last week about the power of God through the cross, which enables us to have peace with God, reconciliation with God, friends now rather than enemies, hostile toward God no longer, but now His friend. But also, that the power of the cross allows us to have victory over the world that is so powerful in its influence on our lives. And also, the power of the cross, it enables us to live upright lives, holy and pleasing, set apart unto God. That's a tall order, but we have a big God that's able to take care of that, as long as we trust Him. Do you know that all this power we talk about, the very power, Paul says, is available to us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Is that a lot of power, folks? Paul says that power is available to us. You wouldn't notice it. Well, you probably wouldn't recognize it. People around us probably don't recognize that power on display. And there's a good reason for it. Maybe not a good reason, but there is a reason. There's an explanation. This power is made available to us through the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells every single person who has been born again and trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and has become a child of God. That same very power of the Holy Spirit, by the way, who is God, He is God resident on earth in the lives of His people. All divine power, all the power of God, since He is God, resides in Him. And if He indwells us, we have all the power of God in us. And that's the way I understand my Bible. It's true. But yet, I think about the power of God made available through the Holy Spirit. And I think of the two gentlemen who were standing, and you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. Standing at Niagara Falls, and one looked up and said, "That's the greatest unused power in the world." The other one turned to him and said, "No, my friend, it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God." I have to agree with that. That is the greatest unused power in the world. Because the Holy Spirit of God resides in His people, and yet the power that's available, woo, a very minuscule amount of it, in my opinion, is used, is demonstrated, is appropriated. Why? I believe simply because of a lack of understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Hopefully we were doing that. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And I said, I believe, in agreement with the gentleman who stated it, that the greatest unused power in the world is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Bear in mind, He is God. He came to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He came to regenerate man. What does that mean? To allow us to be born again spiritually, to become new creatures, to no longer be dead and headed for eternal damnation, but to have eternal life. But He came also to baptize us, Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 12:13, into the body of Christ, to place us, I believe, at salvation into the body of Christ, to immerse us into the body of Christ. To seal us for all eternity, and to fill us. And of everything I've mentioned, I believe there lies the greatest confusion in Christianity today concerning the Holy Spirit. There's much confusion about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and how that is demonstrated and played out in daily life. I hope to clear up some of that confusion, if there's confusion in your mind today. And before I continue, I will say this. I served with Campus Crusade for Christ 4 years full time. I was discipled as a new believer by people who were involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. I have a lot of respect for the organization. I owe a great debt of gratitude to that ministry for helping me to get grounded when I was in a liberal church that didn't know much about salvation, much less about walking daily in the power of God's Spirit. But I was discipled by these people and served in this organization. And Bill Bright, who is now in heaven, I remember him saying that if he had one message to preach to a group of Christian people in a church, now that's not lost people, he's talking about Christian people. He had one message to preach. He said he would preach it on what it means to be filled and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I've been in ministry now 30-something years. And I have to say, I agree. That doesn't mean one passage of Scripture is more important than another. But if you're born again, and this power of God lives in you, shouldn't you understand how that power of God is lived out through you? Therefore, in Ephesians 5:18-21, hopefully today, we will discover what it means, simply what it means, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, first of all, it means this, I believe, to yield our lives to His control. That's what it means. It means to yield our lives to His control, God's control, God made known to us by the power and residence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First of all, it's a command we must obey. That's what this is, a command we must obey. Paul is, it's a command God commands us through Paul as he writes under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. It's not optional. It's something that has to take place for you to live the way God wants you to live. Keep in mind, it's plural. It's all, not a select few people. Not for pastors, youth and worship pastors. Not just for the elders. It's for everyone who is a believer. It's a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Keep in mind, it's not optional, it's essential, but also this is in the passive form. It's not something we do, it's something that someone acts upon us. That is, God, by the power of His Spirit, empowers us. Because we don't have the power, folks. He does and we don't, and he lives in us and he says, I'm ready. Are you? We yield our lives to him. That's our part. We yield and he acts upon us by giving us power to live the way God wants us to live. He controls us. And that's, hopefully I can say right now, and you'll probably hear me say filled again, but I would like for you to try to just leave that word out of your mind for a second. And every time you read or hear, be filled with the Holy Spirit, just say this, be controlled by. That's a better explanation. Not that God didn't know what he was doing, folks. I'm not saying that. But a better explanation in our day and time is to be controlled by. The same word that's used here for filled is used in Scripture twice, once for being filled with wrath. Does that mean you just got a bunch of wrath bubbling up in you? Well, kind of, maybe you could say that, but what it means is you're filled with, you're controlled by wrath. Another example is being controlled by envy. Are you just filled with envy, green with envy? You hear that word? Envy's controlling you. And that's what he's referring to here. Simply put, being filled means be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Versus who? Being controlled by self. That's the bottom line. Be controlled by, be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And he goes on to compare being filled with the Holy Spirit to being drunk with wine. What does he mean by that? You don't have wine bubbling out of your body. I mean, sometimes people come out this end. He's talking about it controls you at a certain point. At a certain point, it takes control. That's, my friend, that is where God draws the line on that subject, if you'd like me to express my opinion. I'm very convinced that God says drunkenness is a sin. Why? Because it's anything that controls you other than God is a sin. Woo! That could be food, my friend. That could be a lot of issues. So what is he talking about? Being under the control or influence of the Holy Spirit of God in your daily life. That's what he's talking about. And bear in mind, once again, it's for all people. He says it is dissipation to be drunk with wine. He's talking about the uncontrolled action here of a drunken man with the idea that word implies wastefulness. It's useless. It's wasteful. What good is it? Now, can I say my experience with the alcohol? Very limited, but ugly. Very limited, but ugly. Have I ever seen drunkenness bring about any good? Not yet. But I've seen it bring about a lot of harm. Because people were controlled by something that took over and influenced them to the point. That's why you call driving under the influence. That's why it's a crime. That's why when Mitch was out in the street, he saw one of his people, he had to arrest him or ticket him. Because they were a danger to other people even. Because they were controlled by something that did not enable them to function properly. In the case with us, if we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we're able to function properly. If we're not, we're controlled by anything else. It's not proper. You back up. Right before verse 18, the middle of verse 17, Ephesians 5 says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Pretty foolish if we don't understand it. And we act foolish. The hymn says this, mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded, and still. That's the secret. I'm yielded to the Spirit of God is what it means. It's a command that I must obey, and that is to yield the control of my life to God's Spirit. And you'll see that it's also not only a command we must obey, but a continual process. It's a continual process. This is written in the present tense, which the present tense means going, is ongoing. It literally means this, be ye being filled. Be ye continually being filled. Be ye being filled. On and on and on and on. When? All the time. It's a continual process. It's not a once in a lifetime experience. It's not once and forever. It's a continual process. It's ongoing, and it's over and over and over and over again. That's why Paul could say in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. He's contrasting the two. The power of the flesh does not please God. When we're under the influence and power of God's Spirit, we live pleasing to God. Therefore, he says, yield, walk, live according to the leading of God's Spirit in your life. Let him take control. Don't you be in control. Because I've seen what you can do. John 15:5. That whole chapter is Paul of John is talking about abiding in Christ, living in conscious dependence upon. To live in is what abide means, to live in. To live in the Spirit of God. To live in Christ, to allow Him to be your life and to control your life. I believe what abide means is to live in conscious dependence upon the Spirit of God to control your life. Therefore, John says, abide, live in me. Acknowledge me. And this is Christ talking in John 15:5. Live in dependence upon me. Therefore, it's a command we must obey to yield our lives to His control. It's a continual process. It's ongoing. Yield when? Moment by moment, by moment, by moment, by moment. You understand that if you're not yielded to the control of God by His Spirit controlling your thoughts, your attitudes, and your actions, you're out of the will of God? Unfortunately, we spend way too much of our time out of the will of God. Talk more about that in a minute. To yield our lives to His control is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of the story, speaking of envy, a guy who was a tad envious of D.L. Moody in the height of his ministry when God was blessing him and using him to reach multitudes with the gospel. And they were having a little, he was having services in a town and the group was gathered to pray for it and to plan for it. And one gentleman jumped up in the middle of the meeting and, like I said, probably green with envy. And he said, what do you think? You think D.L. Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit the way you talk about him? And one wise gentleman jumped up and said, no, D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit of God, but the Holy Spirit of God sure has a monopoly on him. My friends, that's what it means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But it also means not only to yield our lives to His control, but to experience a spiritually fruitful life. To experience a spiritually fruitful life. John Stott says, the chief evidence of being filled is moral, not miraculous. And it lies in the Spirit's fruit, not necessarily in the Spirit's gifts. In the Spirit's fruits, the evidence. What evidence is there that you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis? Is your life any different than the person that sits in the cubicle next to you? Is your life any different than the pagan next door? It should be. you're controlled by the Spirit of God, there will be fruit. And I like it because Paul gives us some fruit to examine here. And I believe verse 19 can be summed up in a life of joyfulness. A life of joyfulness. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Expressed in true spiritual fellowship, in common worship, which is what we've been having today. Through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. As in Colossians 3:16, a parallel passage to this, it seems to be a means of edification, of building up one another, but also a means of coming together to give praise to our great God, who is in control, who has all power, who is a mighty fortress. Joyful singing, not in, but with your heart. Not just in your heart, but with your heart. Making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come before Him with what? Joyful singing. That's why Chuck Swindoll says, a Spirit-filled saint, one who's filled, controlled by God's Spirit, is a song-filled saint. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does when He grabs hold of your life. When you yield to His control, He produces joyfulness in your life. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. Not a fruit of Neil. Frankly, Neil won't do that. Neil left himself won't be joyful. I don't care how bubbly a personality you may be given at birth. You're not going to be joyful, especially when the circumstances are dire. But you will if you're controlled by God's Spirit. Because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace. Isn't it interesting, John 15 that we talked about earlier? He refers to love when you're abiding. He refers to joy. And in chapter 16, he refers to peace. The first three are right there in John 15 and 16. They all come through abiding in Christ, which means yielding to the Spirit of Christ who indwells us to control our lives. When I yield to the Holy Spirit of God and His control over my life, I can and will rejoice always. The joy in my heart, as someone has said, will eventually come out on my face. You can have joy and not be smiling and bubbly, I'm telling you, because the joy of the Lord can be there. But my point is you will not have the joy of the Lord, in my personal opinion. That's just my opinion now. I don't have a lot of scripture to back it up. But I just, from my experience, I believe that if you have the joy of the Lord, you're not going to constantly go around looking like you've been weaned on sour grapes. You're going to bust out a smile once in a while. Because Proverbs 15:13 says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. You can fake that smile, but you can't counterfeit that joy. It's only something God can do as you and I yield to His control. Is your life, I ask you, fruitful, joyful? Can I ask you this? Is it okay? I am anyway. Is your face joyful? At least consistently. John 15:11, I referred back to it just a little ago. These things, Jesus says, I have written to you. What were the things? The whole thing about abiding. These things I have written to you so that my joy may be in you, He said. Then He went on to say, so that your joy may be full. How is our joy full? By abiding and living in Christ and yielding to the power of His Spirit to control our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions daily. There's also not only a life of joyfulness. If we're controlled by the Spirit of God, the evidence is there for a life of thankfulness too. A life of thankfulness. always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Not just sometimes, but always giving thanks. Not just for some things, but all things. Do you realize that? He covers the gamut. The whole kit and caboodle. All things, all times. We can and should give thanks. That's not easy. That's why it's a God thing. It's not easy. God didn't design you and me to be able to do that. That's just the way it was. But He did design us to live in conscious dependence upon Him. And He said, I will make you joyful. I will make you thankful. But you must yield the control of your life to me. Because apart from me, Jesus said in John 15, you can do zippo, nothing. You believe it? Really? Even in suffering, we can be thankful? Even in trials, we can be thankful? Even in severe, serious disappointment, we can be thankful? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. No questions asked. It's God's will. You need to be thankful. But the same one who was inspired to write that also wrote what we're reading today in Ephesians 5:18, that we're to be thankful always for all things. It's possible. Any hint, any idea as to where Paul was? In prison. So it wasn't somebody sitting in paradise looking down at you and me suffering and going through this wretched place we call earth and saying, man, I've got it made. You people need to be thankful. No, he was suffering. He was in tribulation. He was in chains. And he could still say it any minute, and he did it because he depended upon God to control his life. Also, another time, Paul and Silas, while they were in the jail, what did they do? They sang praises to God. So my question to you is, do you have a life of joyfulness? Is there evidence of joy in your life, but also is there evidence of that you have a life of thanksgiving? Can you truly praise Him with thanksgiving even in storm? Thirdly, we see the experience a spiritually fruitful life. The third evidence of fruit is a life of submissiveness. A life of submissiveness. Verse 21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Not self-assertion, but it's self-submission that is the hallmark of a life that's controlled by God's Spirit. Not assertion, but submission. Philippians 2 talks about Christ and the fact that He humbled Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And it says in Philippians 2, 5, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. You and I are to have the same attitude of submissiveness. That we might consider the needs, he says, of others as more important than our own. So when you're butting heads, he says, submit. Submit. I mean, we read scripture, and especially when you read Ephesians 5, woo, and there's some instructions there. The wives, submit to your husbands. Do you know, husband, that there are times you're going to submit to your wife out of reverence for Christ? If you're walking according to the Spirit of God, that is. I realize God laid that out for a reason. I believe it, that man is the head of his home. He's the one responsible to God. He's going to answer whether he likes it or not. As to what he did with what God entrusted to him and his responsibility and his care. But there are times in the body of Christ, even in marriage, but in the body of Christ daily, God has called upon you and me to submit to others. Why do we not submit? Because we want our way. Now, don't compromise doctrine. Don't compromise the truth of the Word of God. He's not talking about that. He's talking about matters that you can give in on. And we just don't give in. Why? Because we're stubborn. We're selfish. I want my way. I know how to do it better than you do. After all, I'm a pastor. Hogwash. The same Spirit of God lives in you that lives in me, okay? And the same Spirit of God can instruct you to live just like He can instruct me to live. If you yield to Him and I yield to Him, it's a beautiful thing. And usually the problem when there's lack of submissiveness, it's either both parties or at least one of the parties is not submitting to the Spirit of God. Because I'm convinced God would never direct you and me to be in opposition to one another on important matters. Trivial matters, the color of the carpet, the color of the chairs, or whatever else people fight over. They do, folks. I mean, don't laugh that churches split over the color of the carpet in a building. Praise God, we've avoided that in two building programs since I've been here. God overruled. God was definitely in control of the carpet back there, and that's a whole other story. He overruled is what He did. Because He's in control. And we're grateful. God, at the end of the day, is the one that has the last say. Out of reverence for Christ, I submit because I revere Him. I have reverence for this God who is awesome. And if He's awesome, I stand in reverence in His presence. I live in reverence and out of reverence for Him daily. Submitting to you, considering your needs is more important than my own. Oh, I'd rather watch a ball game than do it. But it's more important out of reverence for Christ that I serve Him. That doesn't mean I can't ever watch the Georgia Bulldogs play, okay? There are times that out of reverence for Christ, I submit my will to the Spirit of God who would direct me to do something that has some eternal significance, by the way, but football doesn't. But the people who play it are eternal beings. Either one of two places they will spend eternity. Praise God for those who profess Christ and will live with Him and use their sports as a platform to testify the name of God. John 15:5 says, if you abide in me, if you live in conscious dependence of me, you will bear much fruit. If you yield to my control, if you're controlled by the Spirit of God, if you abide in Christ, the same thing, you will bear much fruit. You'll be a fruity person. You know, in Galatians 5:16, I said it earlier, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And you'll either, if you walk by the Spirit, the result in your life will be the fruit of God's Spirit. If you walk by the flesh, it will be the fruit of the flesh. And that's ugly. That's natural, though. That's why we're selfish. And the result of that selfishness, we yield to our flesh, it's selfishness. It's lack of submission. I want my way. Who cares what you want? My way is more important than your way. No, it's not. Who died and left you in charge? We yield to the Spirit of God. Walk and live yielding to the Spirit of God. The result will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You need a little of that self-control? That's kind of interesting. Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self is the problem here. Just think of it this way. Self under control. Self under His control. That's a beautiful thing. Neil, in control, is not pretty. That hymn I quoted from earlier goes on to say, hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see the fruit. Christ only, always, living in me. That's what they'll see. When I'm controlled by the Spirit of God, they'll see Jesus and they'll give Him the glory. Which last time I checked, two things. That is the primary in John 16. He, that is the Spirit of God, Jesus says, will glorify me. How does He glorify Christ? Through controlling my life and your life as we yield. All will see Jesus, not you nor me. Are you appropriating the power of the Holy Spirit of God? That's my question to you today. Are you appropriating the power? You have the power, if you're a Christian, you have the power of Almighty God living in you. And it's therefore Almighty, all power. Are you appropriating that power by confessing sin? Keep in mind, what keeps you and me from being controlled by the Spirit of God is sin. That's an attitude of indifference, rebellion, anything you want to call it. It's indifference from the will of God. Remember, don't be foolish, but understand the will of God. Be controlled by the Spirit. When I'm not controlled by the Spirit, and I'm selfish, I'm envious, I'm not kind, I'm unkind, I'm anxious, all of that is sin. That means I'm not controlled by the Spirit of God. So what do? I confess it. Which means, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confess means to agree with. I agree with God concerning my sin, and I'm willing to turn away from it, repent, and turn away from that sin, and to trust God once again to empower my life so that I might please Him, not myself. So if there's... you're not being controlled by the Spirit of God. You're being controlled by something else. Self. And therefore it's sin. So you confess it. When you worry, you confess it. Because the Spirit of God doesn't produce worry and anxiety, folks. So when you're anxious, be quick to understand that's you, not the Spirit of God working through you. So you need to confess that. And you need to yield to the power of God's Spirit to control your life. By Romans 12:1, presenting yourself as a sacrifice to Him. That's what it means. It means I confess my sin and I once again, I present myself to You to control me. I present my life to You as a living sacrifice. Not a dead one, a living one. For Him, I live. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. It's Him who's alive in me. That's what it means. I present my life to You, Lord. And I'm going to trust You to empower me by Your Spirit. Are you yielding moment by moment this control? Probably not. Because of this thing called sin. When you're riding down the road, going to work, and you get angry with that guy who cut you off, guess what? You're not walking according to God's Spirit. You're not being controlled by God's Spirit. Because He won't get angry with people for that kind of thing. He has righteous indignation. We'll talk about that another time. I'm talking about your indignation that's uncalled for. Mine that's uncalled for. When you lust, whether it be for the flesh or material things, it's not the Spirit of God. It's your flesh doing it. When should you confess that sin? As soon as you see it. As God, by His Spirit, convicts you. Breathe that prayer wherever you are. I don't care if you're in the middle of 19 and cars surrounding you. You better call out to Him and confess. And then yield as He forgives you and cleanses you. Yield to the cross. How long are you going to do that? Until you go to heaven. How often are you going to do it? Regularly. It's essential, folks. It's not an option. Are you consistently fruitful? Are you a fruity person? You are. Is it fruit of the Spirit or fruit of the flesh? That's what you have to identify. And if you're having difficulty, ask your spouse or your closest friend, who may be your closest friend. What kind of fruit do you see in my life? Kind of summed up in what we're going to sing right now. And I invite you to make this your prayer. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. It's all about whether it's going to be his way or my way. And last time I checked, his way is a whole lot better. It's a whole lot prettier. Have thine own way. You are the potter. Yes, you're the potter. I'm only a lump of clay. Will you join me as you stand and sing and make this your prayer, if you can? Sincerely say, I'm clay, and I'm yielding to you to control me by your Spirit today and every day.